If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13, we're going to be looking at a parable there in Matthew 13, starting in verse 44. And if you don't have your Bible handy, they'll all be on the screen. But again, Matthew 13, 44. And while you're looking for that, let me pray for us. Father, again, we thank you that you've gathered us together here this morning. Lord, I know that we are few because many are on vacation, but Lord, where two or three are gathered, you are there. And so, Lord, we're thankful that your presence is here with us this morning. And now, Lord, I ask that you speak to us through this familiar passage, this familiar parable. We've seen it many, many times, but Lord, speak to us something new in it this morning. And as always, Lord, we acknowledge that because your presence is with us, that gives us certain authority. And now there can be no spirit in this place that can cause a distraction. And because you're with us in the authority that you've given us, there can be no spirit in this place that can cause doubt or confusion. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move and have his way. And Holy Spirit, we do long for you to come and to be present with us this morning and speak to us. Amen. Well, I want to look at a couple of Jesus' parables that deal with the kingdom this morning. These two parables come right after Jesus explains the parable of the weeds. Now, of course, the parable of the weeds is evangelistic in nature. And these two parables here continue on in that theme of being evangelistic. So we're going to start with Matthew 33, verse 44. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it. Now, in the first parable, Jesus simply describes the kingdom as a treasure, but then leaves it rather ambiguous. Then in the second parable, Jesus says that the kingdom is like a fine pearl. Pearl of great price or a pearl of great value, depending on which English translation you might be reading. Now, the word used here in the Greek to describe the value of the pearl is only used in one other time in the New Testament, and it's used in John 12 to describe the value of the pure nard that Mary anointed Jesus' feet with. Remember when Mary comes and she puts the pure nard on Jesus' feet right before his death? And nard was very, very expensive. In that context, it said it was worth a year's wages. It's a similar word that's used here to describe the value of this pearl. So this pearl is extremely valuable, perhaps pressing in on a year's wages. Now, why does Jesus choose a jewel? Because the value of a jewel doesn't change based on circumstances. Did you know that pearls are the only jewels that cannot be improved upon once they're harvested? Once a pearl is harvested, that's it. It's as good as it gets. It doesn't need to be polished and it doesn't need to be cut. Jewels are perfect, and that's just like the kingdom. You see, things like pearls and diamonds always hold their value, and they are always valuable. And that's what Jesus is getting at. There's a similarity to the kingdom. Now, there are a few important distinctions here that we need to make between these two parables. In the parable of the treasure hidden in the field, the man was not looking for it. He found it by accident, so to speak. Sometimes the kingdom just finds us. He also appears to be a common laborer out in the field digging. Then, in the parable of the pearl, the man was looking for fine pearls. In fact, in that day, in Jesus' day, merchants sent people out to dive for pearls. The common pearls of the day came from the Red Sea. Better quality pearls of the day came from the Persian Gulf. And the best quality pearls of Jesus' day came from India. So most likely this merchant that he refers to here had sent out divers to those locations looking for pearls. He also appears to be quite wealthy since he is able to do this. The other guy is a laborer just digging in the field and he finds a treasure, it says. This guy is sending out merchants to go look for pearls, so this guy is probably quite wealthy. Jesus structures it this way to show that anyone can find and enter the kingdom. Those looking, those not looking. The wealthy and the common laborer. So it doesn't matter if you're looking for the kingdom or if you're not looking for the kingdom, or if you're an extremely wealthy man or just a common laborer, you can enter into the kingdom. It should also be pointed out that both men in these parables are able to afford their purchase. The first man, the laborer, did end up having enough money to be able to buy the field. The second man, the merchant, had enough money to be able to buy this fine pearl that he discovered. This shows that while the kingdom may cost everything, it is not out of reach for anyone. Because of God's grace, we will be able to enter the kingdom, though it may cost everything. In this parable, there also seems to be no suggestion that he is going to resell the pearl for profit. He simply wants to possess the pearl. All right, so how do we understand and interpret these parables? What's interesting is scholars are very conflicted and divided on how to interpret these two parables right here. And they break down into two categories of thought that I'll explain. The first interpretation follows the lines of Luke 14:33, and I think I've got a slide for that. Luke 14:33 says, "In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." So the first line of thought is that these parables show us the cost and the sacrifice we must make to pursue more of the kingdom. Are we willing to give up everything for the kingdom, so to speak? Or as Phil Strout likes to say, if the kingdom is worth anything, then it's worth everything. Other scholars, though, would say that this cannot be because it is an affront to the grace of Jesus and makes it a works righteousness. So the second way to understand this is to see it from Jesus' perspective. Jesus is the one in the field, and the treasure he finds is us. The field represents the world, and in the world he finds us, which is consistent with other parables like the parable of the weeds. Then the joy of verse 44 is Jesus' joy in finding us. It says, "When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field." Well, that joy is the joy that Jesus has over finding us. Jesus goes and pays the ultimate price to purchase us. In this interpretation, Jesus is the one paying the price, since he has the means to be able to do that. Again, with the pearl, Jesus is the one who finds the pearl, and we are the pearl. So both parables show the great length and price that Jesus goes to purchase and redeem us. We are worth that. Think about it this way. So like Robin, you are the pearl of great price. And when Jesus discovered you, in his great joy, he went and sold everything to redeem you. We are that pearl of the great price. So when the world makes us feel like we have no value, we can remember these two parables. So now, here's an interesting thing. Which interpretation is better? We've got two ways that we can interpret these parables. Here's what I found really interesting. As I study these parables and I studied everything that's been written about them, modern-day scholars, our contemporaries in our day, would say that these parables point to the price that we must pay to get the kingdom. But if you go back one generation in scholarship, all of the old scholars would say that is absolute blasphemy, and it is all about the price that Jesus paid to redeem us. Isn't it interesting how modern-day scholarship has made the kingdom about us? But a generation of the scholars were like, no, this is about Jesus and the price that he pays to redeem us. So how do we interpret this? In a situation like this, I tend to go with the interpretation that most focuses on Jesus rather than the one that focuses on man. So I am inclined to go with the second interpretation that says that this great price Jesus paid for us, because that makes it all about Jesus and nothing about me or my efforts. God sees us as pearls of great value, so valuable in fact that he gave his one and only son to die on a cross for us. It did cost Jesus everything to redeem us and to purchase us for his kingdom. He sold all he had, so to speak. So So I believe the best way to understand these two parables is that this is the price that Jesus paid to redeem us, because that makes it about Jesus and not us. But I do think there is a place for us to sacrifice for the more of the kingdom. Now, let me build a little more context into this for a minute. So again, I believe that these two parables, the parable of the treasure in the field and the parable of the pearl of great price, are about the price, the cost that Jesus paid to redeem us. And I believe that as we continue in Matthew 13, the rest of the context reinforces that. So if we look at Matthew 13, starting in verse 47, Jesus continues. He says, "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that has let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets and threw the bad away." Clearly, this is Jesus doing the fishing, right? So why would there be that kind of a contextual switch and have the previous two parables be about us? They're not. They're about Jesus. The parable about the treasure in the field and the parable about the pearl of great price are about Jesus, just like this is clearly about Jesus. Jesus is the one letting down the net and catching the fish, which are us. Jesus is the fisherman. Now, as I think about these two parables of treasure, I can see some of this in my own life. In the early part of my life, it was the treasure in the field. I was the laborer working in the landscape field, and I was not looking for God. God found me. And I think that's so true for so many of us, don't you? That we weren't necessarily looking for God, but God found us. God was just out doing his thing, digging in the field, and found me. Then in the later part of my life, when I walked away from a career and a business, it was then that I paid an incredible price to enter into full-time ministry. And then still later in life, when I began to work on the mission field, I again paid an incredible price of safety and comfort when international travel agents tell you that your trips are too dangerous. We all have this incredible value that Jesus has paid to redeem us. Now, there's nothing of value that I can offer other than praise, but I can sacrifice some for the more of the kingdom, and the sacrifice is always worth it. Another thing I notice in these parables is how quickly Jesus responded in buying the field and the pearl. He goes out in the field, he's digging, he finds this treasure, and he immediately says, at once, he goes and he buys that field. Or when he discovers the pearl, he at once buys the pearl. I love the immediate nature in which Jesus responds to claiming us. He didn't have to sit around and think about it. Is Carlene worth it? You know, should I redeem Carlene today? God's name. It was an immediate response. He was responding to what the Father had sent him to do. And so I think there is a place for us to act in obedience and quickness to what the Father is calling us to do as well. Now, last Sunday, we were going to have communion. Well, we did have communion. I just wasn't here. But I was going to talk about how this communion represents that price that Jesus paid. Communion is that unbelievable price that Jesus paid to buy that field, to get us, to get me, and the price that Jesus paid to buy that pearl, which again is us. But we did do communion last Sunday, so we will not do it again this morning, but I wanted to make that connection for you. All right. I will just crash and burn the landing and invite the worship team to come on up.